Are you there, John? John?
Yes.
Are you there?
I am, yep.
Okay. It's 7:01. Whom do we have?
We're missing Steve. Just Steve.
Okay, do we want to wait a couple minutes then?
Sure.
Let me know when he comes in.
Steve is here.
Okay, so all of the members of the board are there?
Yes.
Okay, I'd like to call this meeting to order. It is 7:02. Is there any public comment? Is there any public there, John?
Jimmy's here, and
John Moore
is here.
So I guess we aren't hearing any public comment. No one has their hand up, John?
No.
Okay, we will go on to agenda review. Are there any additions or deletions?
This is Scott. I'd like to strike the Capital Planning Committee update. John Moore sent a written update to the board, and we agreed that that would suffice, so that doesn't need to stay on the agenda.
Okay, and do we want to add a discussion regarding town meeting and methodology for same, a brief discussion as to how we wish to proceed?
Yeah.
Okay, and so I guess let's put that where the Capital Planning Committee was. So discussion, town meeting. We also got a letter from Ellen that's regarding Rep Parsons on a subdivision, and I assume that there is also a request for a driveway, but no one has sent that to me, and I don't think Ellen is going to be on tonight, and Becky usually isn't ever there. Did you receive any driveway permit for that, Jimmy?
No, I didn't. There was that permit and that, all that, I believe, there was a $50 check and whatnot in my mailbox, but I turned all that over to Ellen because it was a subdivision and everything, so I never even looked at it.
Okay, so I guess we won't put that on the agenda for tonight. If they've got a subdivision request, they're going to have to go before the Planning Commission anyway. So let's leave that off. Are there any other additions or deletions that anyone has?
Not addition or deletion, but can we just for clarity's sake, just clarify what the feral pigs topic is about?
That was in the packet.
Right, I saw that. Yeah, but it just says feral pigs in the agenda, and I think it'd be good.
Well, I understand that, but if you had looked at the packet, you would have seen that this person that is doing a study asked for permission to use Town of Pomfret land, and I also sent you, in addition to that, you got an email in her response as to where this was, and so we have to make a decision whether we wish to let her do that study on Town of Pomfret land or whether we do not. I do not have the authority to grant or deny that on my own, and that's why it's there.
I understand that, and I did read it. I'm just thinking all our agenda says is feral pigs, and I just want to clarify for everybody and generally for the public, the people.
Well, I can understand if there was nothing in the packet to explain that, but fortunately, there was, and so
let's not make it a mountain.
Anything else that we want? Any other additions or deletions that anyone has? then we need a motion to do these two changes, the deletion of the Capital Planning Committee report, which we already have, and discussion of town meeting methodology or whatever.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor, John?
Aye.
Chuck?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
And myself, aye. Then we will continue on. Were there any questions or concerns regarding the 10-7 minutes of the meeting?
Any changes? Just one comment under 10D, under the rock salt bids. I'm sure we'll talk about it again tonight, but I think it's just important to highlight that it was actually, I think we also talked about Clearlane that night too. Did we not, or am I mixing conversations?
Well, we discussed whether they were bidding on Clearlane or Clear. Yes, we did.
Okay, I didn't see that reflected in the minutes. So that's it.
What was the other item with the bids, salt bids?
That Jim was recommending that we purchase the Clearlane formulated salt.
Okay.
Any other corrections? So we need a motion to adopt the minutes.
So moved.
I need a second.
Second.
All those in favor, John?
Aye.
Chuck?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
And myself. Aye. Warrants for approval. Cindy, you have those. Ellen sent you an email regarding the three warrants for approval.
Yes. Number 21032 in the amount of $7,934.80 payroll. Warrant number 21033, $40,835.35. For accounts payable, and 21034 in the amount of $120,428 for the truck and for Clark's payment on the new truck.
Are there any questions on any of these items or any of these three warrants? Those were all, Ellen sent all of those to us in the last two or three days. Were there any questions on any of the items in those bills? So in that case, I move that we pay those three warrants in the amounts that Cindy, 21032, 21033, and 21034 in the amounts that Cindy indicated. And I need a second.
Second.
No more discussion or any discussion? All those in favor, John?
Aye.
Chuck?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
And myself, aye. Just as a point of reference for you, Pike wants their last payment. I was expecting to hear something, and Ellen was from Horizons regarding whether that was the final bill, and if it was everything okay? And we do not have that, so that was not reflected on that on these warrants. Moving on, road foreman's report, Jimmy.
Yep. So we've been going around blowing leaves out of the ditches and whatnot. I'm just going around now, getting started around touching up the roads where the rough spots are and whatnot, to smooth out the washboard going and stuff. We started replacing the missing signs. I did put those two pedestrian crossing signs up by the hall up there. So those are up now. Let's see. The question I do have about road signs is, in the past, have we been paying for private road signs? Does anybody
I cannot answer that question. I don't answer that question, but I think we can find out. I think it's going to take a little digging. I guess we'll have to, when they initially started with the road signs, and I don't know how many years ago that was, but I think we can determine that, but I do not know that answer.
Okay.
Does anyone else have any information regarding that?
I don't know, but I know, I think it's any more than two houses on a road has to have, or a private road has to have a sign. And the only way you're going to enforce them being there is us putting them up. But I wouldn't want to set precedent without knowing what we've done in the past.
I think that's a warrant for discussion in the future. Road signs, private. Okay, we can answer that, but not tonight, Jimmy.
Okay, yep. And then we've been getting some of the equipment around and ready and out for winter. The painting is well under the way on the building down there at the garage. I talked to the guy today. He seemed to think here within less than a week you would be wrapped up and done and out of there. The weather's kind of been hampering it some. So the first tandem truck is at Viking. I went up and looked it over and set the controls up, picked where they were going to go and all that. I asked them when they thought possibly we might see that truck, and the holdup is the body. Right now, tentatively, they're looking that hopefully the body comes in the third week of November. So they got some holdup there because of the COVID and the body's coming out of Canada and whatnot. So that puts it behind a little bit. Tomorrow I'm going to go around and look at a few projects with Alan Ricker from Two Rivers for that ditching grant again for next year. So we're going to see what we can come up with that. This is a question for John. He might know, but we've been getting a lot of Suicide 6 on these radios. Is there a need for us to have them in there, John?
You're getting that now that I'm assuming they came and got the scan working for you.
Yeah, they did. They did that, and I thank you. And that guy's efficient, and everything works really good.
So that's probably why I would have to either know what you have. Is there anything in that bank with the highway ones that said Suicide 6 as a channel?
Yes, there is.
Okay. That would be why you're getting Suicide 6. I should have asked them before when they came and checked with you what else was in there. I didn't realize Suicide 6 was in that same bank as the highway channels. So that's why you're getting it. So when you have it selected on scan, you're scanning all of the channels in that bank. So.
Probably the best thing to do then is just deal with it for now, and then when the new truck comes in and they come up to do the radio, have them adjust it then.
Exactly. Yep. Deal it for now if you can, and I'll check to see if they can exclude Suicide 6 from the scan frequencies.
Okay. And then the only other thing that I got was they come up and service the grader. Oh, I don't know, a week ago now, I guess, or whatever. And there was a few things that I talked to the mechanic about and whatnot. And I had asked him to put a list together on some stuff that we might be having to plan for coming down the road within the next 5 years or so with the grader. And one of the biggest concerns that I have with it right now is that it has been going through more oil than what it even did last year. And it is starting to build pressure somewheres in the motor. And I can call them and get a price on a pressure test and have them come up and pressure test it. But while he was looking at it, he went over it because it's got a little bit of shucking in the articulation pins. And so over time, we're going to have to do something with rebuilding them. And then the other thing that he said that never has been done on it is the brakes haven't been done on it. So we need to look forward to maybe over time having to do something with them brakes that are on that as well. So the biggest thing of it is I just kind of had him put an eyeball on that stuff and chatted with him to see where we are at with the grader. But I do know that it is using a lot more oil than normal, because in 60 hours that I run it, I put 2 gallons of oil.
Hey, Jim, I don't know if you had a chance to see that email I sent, and I don't know if it's anything we could take advantage of, but I saw that on the John Deere website about the power account for maintenance, and it might be a way to spread out some of these maintenance costs if we have to deal with those.
Well, that was in that email that you had sent.
Yeah, that basically the gist of it is, and it might be something to talk to Nortrax about, is I think it's called a power account. And what it does, it allows us to spread out the cost of a big service like what we're talking about over like 6 months, for example, without any interest or anything like that. So it wouldn't be like one big hit at once on the bill.
Oh, yeah.
So it might be worth looking into if we do end up in a situation of having to deal with a big maintenance bill.
Yeah. And then, I mean, like that's the main, I mean, that's my main concern with it. And I do know that he had made a comment, and I'm trying to get to the bottom of it right now, that when the mechanic was there, he was supposed to, Don was going to get in touch with him today and have an answer for me tomorrow. But I'm pretty sure that he had said that he had to push the dipstick back in when he went to service it, and the dipstick was sticking out a little bit. But I can't 100% swear on that. But I do know after he'd serviced it and I ran it, the dipstick was sticking up a little bit. And I know after I checked the oil, I know I put it down in. And so I'm just worried now. I'm thinking in my mind that maybe that's popping up because it's building pressure down there in the bottom end somehow that it shouldn't be. So
right. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. So I don't know for sure, but I wanted to clear it up to make sure that he did say that he pushed that dipstick in, and I'm just waiting to hear back from him on that.
And if you're burning oil, you've got wear on the rings or the piston walls, which would then potentially create pressure in your crank case. So
right.
Yeah.
I guess it'd be good to get estimates on everything that it would need in the next few years so we could make some more educated decisions about what we want to do.
Jim, you got at least part of the write-up on the cost for that, right?
Yeah, I do actually. I don't, of course, I don't have a computer or nothing here in front of me.
I have it because Neil passed it on.
Yep.
If you guys want to wait just a second, I'll try and, if you guys keep, Jim, if you want to keep talking, I'll try and dig it up here while you're gone.
But I mean, that really, and then the moorboard on it, of course, I had them give us a price on, you know, having to, you know, the new shims on it and everything, and that was with putting a new moorboard in it, and that price is on there as well. I think that one of the things that they said they could do is rebuild that motor if that's what it had to be, and that price on that was, $18,928 if memory serves.
Right. So it looks like I'm looking at it now. It looks like they did do a full write up here for everything, and it looks like the issue you're talking about is roughly a $19,000 job, and then there's the mold board rebuild is about 10 grand. And then the brakes is another roughly 8 grand.
Oh,
And then what else am I seeing? And then there's more with the cutting edge on the mold board.
That's a little bit confusing on that, but some of the mold board that they had on that breakdown, and then I noticed he didn't put in for the new mold board. So then he sent me that. So that came in a little bit later.
Yeah.
So that's in there. And then the brakes were and stuff are in there as well.
Yep. But to John's point, I think what we'll want to do is kind of, and I think the Capital Planning Committee will take this into consideration as well as, looking at the select board, of course, has got to make more time sensitive decisions around whether to do the repairs or not. But we'll need to lay it out, what are the options?
Yep.
What's the projected replacement date on this machine?
It was expected, when we did the planning, it was supposed to run out to 9,000 hours. That was kind of our sweet spot for replacement, was when it hit 9,000, which roughly translates into about 25 years of service. And we're at 18 right now. And Jim, correct me if I say anything wrong, but I think Jim stated to us that, he's kind of actually more of the opinion that it's a 20-year, one or two more years out, rather than trying to get the full 25 years out of it.
I mean, the loader, I know, I think I had made a comment that, we had to let that go for another one or two years. That was just in the chat of the capital plan. But the grader, I mean, I think we'd have to, in my mind, I think I would want to weigh out. I mean, the way I see it is we'd have to weigh out everything on, what it's going to cost and how much longer we're going to hold on to that.
What I would recommend is we're pretty deep into the analysis. And Jimmy, unless you're really under the gun right now with using the grader, I would recommend that we wait until we can present some options to the select board. I'm speaking from the Capital Planning Committee standpoint. Wait till we can present some options and make a decision before next year, when Jimmy needs to be back out there grading roads after mud season.
Is the grader fully usable at this point, Jimmy?
Yep. Okay. Yep.
My suggestion would be to, in order to make any kind of intelligent decision, it seems to me that this is almost a $60,000 expense to fix this sucker. And if a new grader only costs $300,000 without a trade, straight sale, that you're talking a significant amount of money to keep an older machine going, knowing full well that when you trade it in another 3 or 4 or 5 years, it still will only be worth what it's worth right now without the repairs. And so I would think it would be wise if we asked Jimmy to get a price from Nortrack as to what a new grader might cost, and also from Caterpillar, and see what our options are. Because when you start putting that kind of money into a $300,000 machine, that's a pretty significant repair bill for a short-term life expectancy, a return on those dollars. You're never going to see that kind of money come back as a trade-in.
Yeah, Emily, I think you're right, but not to... I think Jimmy's been helping us a lot, and I think we, we're on the... should be on the agenda for November, the Capital Planning Committee. And I think we'll be able to speak intelligently on some options at that point about, and give the select board some choices about which direction to go.
Well, if you don't have any trade-in values and you don't have any cost of a new piece of equipment, I don't know quite how you make an intelligent decision.
We do, Emily. So if you can just give us a little bit of time to, we are doing our work and we will present something to the select board in early November.
Anything else, Jim?
That's about it for me. And we're going to talk about the salt beds and stuff a little bit later anyway.
Any other questions for Jim?
No, I just want to say thank you, Jim, for all your cooperation and help. It's really valuable.
Yep, you're welcome.
Next on the agenda is rock salt bids. Did you find out anything about the state bid, Jim?
I did, actually. And I sent Chris Bumps an email, and then he responded back to me. And the bottom of it was that the towns and cities outside of that pay a different rate. And from what I come up with, even I got onto their website and whatnot, and we were going to, if we bought it underneath the state bid from American Rock Salt, just the regular straight salt, it was going to be $80.31 a ton. Now, American Rock Salt has sent us a thing saying that they would sell it to us for $76 a ton. So, I mean, if we were to buy
it. And that's for white. That's for white salt.
Correct. Yeah. And then Appalachie, they gave me a price on the bulk salt, rock salt, and delivered, and that was $76.80 a ton. And then Cargill Salt gave us a price on the bulk salt at $69.21 a ton.
And did any of those give you a price on Clear Lane?
The only one that I got a price on from Clear Lane, and I don't know so much about American Rock Salt, but knowing that they were already on the higher side of the straight salt. So the bulk salt from Cargill was $69.21, and the Clear Lane was $79.21. So it's about $10 more a ton.
That's actually pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah. Because some of these bulk prices were $76 a ton just for the regular rock salt.
Right.
So it seems to me that we, to go with the state bid, we're going to pay more. So that seems rather foolish. And so we have to decide whether you want, whether you want white salt from Cargill or Clear Lane from Cargill, because white salt is going to be the cheapest there of the three. And so you got to decide whether you want Clear Lane or white.
I thought we were going to get some of both. Jimmy, didn't you say that we wanted to get some combination of the two?
Last year I did do that a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, when we had like warm weather coming along or whatever, then I would bring in some regular rock salt and dump it on the top. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he was good with us last year because a lot of these contracts that when we sign them, you get 10%. So if you end up going 10% over of the estimated tonnage of what you tell them, then the price dramatically goes up about $25 a ton. So he was good with us last year and let us get a tonnage amount for the regular salt and a tonnage amount for the Clear Lane. So you had them two options. So you weren't taking no danger in running over on one or the other. You know what I mean?
So wouldn't that be the thing to do this time too?
That's what I would think we would do.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I don't know what other people think, but that makes logical sense.
Makes sense to me. And that worked well for you last year, right, Jim?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
So we need a motion as to how many tons of either or Clear Lane and or white we wish to have Jimmy contract for us with Cargill. And I do not know that number, so we're going to have to look to Jimmy for that. And then somebody needs to make a motion.
I'll make the motion, but Jimmy, can you give the numbers?
Yep. So the straight salt from Cargill was $69.21.
Yep.
And the clear lane was $79.21.
And what's do we have a limit? How many we can purchase under that, under both of them?
I think in his quote that I, hold on a second. Yeah, let's look at it real quick. That, so the clear lane, they had us down for 800 ton under the contract. And then the regular salt, they had us down for 850 ton. So there's no danger. I mean, I don't know. I think last year, we went around close to 1,000 ton.
1,000 ton total.
Yeah.
So should we?
So in other words, we don't have to buy that amount if we don't need it, but that gives us the cushion that we need so that they won't up the price because we go over the contract amount. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. So I'll move that the board approve purchase of salt this year from Cargill, the clear lane amount at $69.21 per ton at 800 tons. Correction. Straight salt, $69.21 per ton at 800 tons.
850. On the clear.
Sorry, I reversed. I reversed the numbers.
Yeah.
Thank you, Steve.
Not a problem.
And then that we also approve clear lane at $79.21 per ton at 800 tons.
Second that.
Any more discussion?
So I'll get all you that. I'll get you that, Emily, and you can sign that. Is that how you want to do it?
That's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
We need to vote on that. Is there any other discussion? John?
Aye.
Chuck?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
And myself, aye. Now we have Greg Green driveway change. And Greg wrote an email to me, and I think Jimmy as well, or I copied Jimmy on a response. He wants to move the driveway that we all looked at a couple, 3 weeks ago down the hill by one tree's worth. Jimmy thought, he went and looked at it. He thought it was a better alternative than what they had there before. And so I had sent the paperwork back to Becky, and she has it on the original driveway. And Jimmy, do you have anything else to add on to this conversation?
No, but I mean, and I understand a lot. I mean, if I went over and looked at it again, I mean, actually, he's got just as good a sight distance on it and everything. But the biggest thing is he was trying to save that one nice maple tree there. And so they just moved it down the road a little ways to get away from that so they didn't damage the roots on it. So, I mean, it's fine right where it's at, where they want to move it to.
So we need to approve a motion to let Greg Green amend his driveway change, and I will email, if indeed we approve that, I will email him that we will do the paperwork and approve his driveway, but he will have to give us an amended drawing to indicate where he wants it now. So I will move that we approve Greg Green's amended driveway request, and I need a second for that.
Second.
Any more discussion? All those in favor, John?
Aye.
Chuck?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
And myself, aye. Okay, that's all we need there. Road commissioner and foreman job descriptions. I put this on there, and hopefully we could, if you all look this over, these two descriptions over, we could amend them for and work on them for the next meeting. Neither one of these job descriptions is in actuality how things are working and what we have done. For instance, the road commissioner job description indicates that we will interview and hire, and we did not do that. We appointed a road commissioner, and the road foreman and road commissioner job descriptions are somewhat similar and yet somewhat not, and the foreman reports to the select board. We need to redo these to reflect the situation as it is right now. I did not have time to go through and change all those things, but I suggest we look at them seriously and get them in concert with our actual practice.
Sounds
and that's
good.
Why I included that.
Okay, that sounds good, Emily. And just for context, the road commissioner job description that's in there comes from back when we were advertising for the quote working road commissioner. And that's why the job descriptions look so similar to each other. So yeah, I agree with you, Emily. We should pare down the road commissioner's job to what it really would be in actuality.
Well, I understand why it's there just as well as you do. That isn't the point. Is it does not reflect what we have these job descriptions, and it doesn't reflect the actual situation as it is today and how we've handled it in the last year or so. And so I think we need to sit down and come up with actually what we're doing and what we have done and how we've handled it so that we actually reflect what we're doing. And it isn't right to have these job descriptions floating about which have no bearing on what in actuality is happening. But we can deal with those in another meeting. But that's why it's there. And anyway, is there any other discussion on that, or are you willing to work on that between now and the next meeting?
No, let's take it offline and work on it.
Sounds good to me. Final payment on Pike. Jimmy, have you heard back from anything from John Harrington and or Horizons regarding that final payment, if it is a final payment, and also if all the subs have been paid?
I do know that the subs have been paid. I do know that. But I have not heard back on much of any of anything of that nature on if everything's in there. I do know that there's still that question that got brought up with the 18.2 ton or whatever it be that still was applied into Sharon and we were getting billed for it. And last I knew, that hadn't been cleared up. But I did talk to Ellen a little bit Monday about it, and I just said that it might be time that we call Caleb and say, hey, what's going on here, and get Caleb involved with it.
Horizons, the new guy at Horizons, did get that final bill to look over, did he not?
Yeah, he did, and I believe that he had got John involved with it, and the last I see of it was some comments that got made that 18.2 tons still wasn't pulled off.
Okay,
that was
the last comments I see. Shall we get Ellen to write Caleb, email Caleb? We're unclear whether the 18.2 tons was pulled out or not. We were credited for that.
I think we should. And then he will know for sure on what the final bill is. You know what I mean? I mean, it's hard right now because John did the project and everything. And I don't regard John on doing what he wanted to do. And I respect that. But it's just hard dealing with the two people. You know what I mean? With the two individuals there trying to get answers back. So John's been real responsive, I feel, but sometimes I just think there's a little bit of a communication thing there. And I think if we get Caleb in the middle of it, we'll have some answers right off quick.
Okay. I will talk to Ellen. I'll write that down. Ellen email Caleb. Okay. Because I understand Caleb really wants his money, and that's understandable. He should get it. Any other issues with Pike? Anybody want to add anything to the discussion? Okay, feral pigs. I indicated to you, sent to you, the correspondent I had from this lady regarding the feral pigs. The study is to be done on the Town of Pomfret land, the Joe Ranger property. They do the second response after I queried her is about what she was doing. The second response indicated that they would not be. What they do is they bait for and set up game cameras and bait for these feral pigs that may or may not be here. And they do not do anything until after hunting season is over. And the bait is a fermented mash of some sort or other. And what they want is they want to, if indeed there are feral pigs, they want to get them under control because they are quite destructive if they get going. And they do have lots of litters, large litters of pigs, and they can be quite a problem. So I need to know what the board wishes to do about that. And then if you want to give her permission to do that, I have the paperwork to send back to her.
And what we're just doing is granting permission to set up the game cameras, basically.
And also making bait stations with game cameras over them. Yes. Right. Well, and we're also giving her permission to go on the land in order to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I did speak with Billy Emmons, who borders that land on the other side of the hill. And he allowed us how he didn't think there were any feral pigs there. And I don't think there are either, but it's not going to do any harm for her to look for them. The bait is not a problem to animals, wild animals, cows, pets, that kind of thing. It's not, they're just baiting it so that they can get photographs of what's there or not there.
Okay. Is there any... this is more a question of curiosity than anything, but would we be able to see the results of this? I'd be curious to see what they find on their game cameras.
I suspect if you touch base with her, she probably would let you look at that stuff. But to be quite honest, I did not ask that question.
Okay. I mean, I don't see any, if in fact, there's no issue with the baiting, because that would be my main concern.
Well, in that email that I sent to her, which you got a copy of,
yeah.
I specifically asked that.
I saw that.
And she responded that was not going to be a problem. And, there just aren't many people over there anyway. But I did ask that question. And I think... we should be okay in that regard.
Emily, Jim here. I do have a question, though, if they do that. And I haven't read any of it or anything, but I would want to make sure that if that stuff they're feeding them pigs, that if the deer are going to start becoming dependent on that, that they're going to have to carry that through and keep feeding them deer until winter's over.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to lose a lot of deer out of it.
No, that's a very good point.
Well, that's kind of where I was thinking is what bait is, or would other animals be interested in whatever bait they're putting out there? What is the bait?
Let me just get back to her email and I can tell you.
Corn, sour corn and corn and molasses. So yeah, that would attract deer.
We have somebody with their hand up. I think they would clarify what how the bait was put out.
Okay.
So the handout that's in the paperwork shows a picture of the bait. It's in a PVC tube with drilled holes. Nothing can actually get to the bait.
Oh, okay. Oh,
so it's all contained in a capped PVC tube that's glued together on either end with holes drilled in it, and it's fermented corn, and they can't reach it. They just get drawn to it.
I see.
That's why it's safe for everything.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so to Jimmy's point, they wouldn't actually be able to feed on it.
Correct. They can't actually access it. It's just an odor and a smell, and they can't actually, the pigs can't even eat it unless they chew through the PVC tube.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for pointing that out, Kathy.
Yep.
Thank you.
So I need a motion as to whether or not to give this person permission.
I'll move that we do that.
Second.
All those in favor, John?
Aye.
Chuck?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
And myself, aye. So I will email her that she has permission, and I will sign the permission slip on our behalf. Permission granted.
Yeah, I don't think they'll find any, but I know they're down in the Sunapee area from that game preserve down there. I've seen them hit on the side of the road before.
Emily, can we just ask her to send us the results of the
stuff? Yes, I will do that.
Okay.
Send results.
Thank you.
We can do that as well. We can try anyway. I'm sure she will oblige. The next on the agenda is the TIGO decision letter. I believe you all got a copy of that. I don't know whether Ben is Ben here tonight, John?
Ben's here, I think.
He is here.
And so Ben and Joe finalized this Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. I'm not sure when. And Joe seemed to think that was in a ready-to-go form. And he also said that he would be willing to help craft that. I believe Ben sent this to you. Did you all get that email?
Yes.
That Joe sent. So he would be willing to craft that.
The IOD.
Yeah. If need be, with Kathleen. So, do you have any problems with the decision as it is written now?
No, it looks good to me. I think Joe mentioned we should remove some footnotes, but other than that, I think should be good to go. I don't know if Ben has any comments.
Just mechanical comments. I think Kevin Warden should be asked to prepare and circulate the final site plan and redate it to a current date. He had been waiting to do that until all the requested changes had been provided so that he didn't have to go through that process multiple times. Mm-hmm. And then once that's done, someone, Joe, or I can do it too if you want, just needs to make sure that nothing change that affects any of this, including the various item citations, those C numbers that refer to elements throughout. But I think that can all be done after you approve the decision. It's really just a ministerial process to delete footnotes and confirm the numbers are still correct.
Right.
Okay, so if everybody is happy with this decision letter, then we need a motion to move this item along.
I'll move that we approve the permit as drafted.
I need a second.
Second.
Is there any more discussion? Okay, all those in favor, John?
Aye.
Chuck?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
And myself, aye. So that's passed. So I have a procedural question, Ben. Are we going to sign this decision and send it to them and then ask for the amended map? Or are we going to give them a copy of this decision unsigned and get the amended map to attach to the final paperwork?
I think it would be best if someone reached out to Kevin tonight or tomorrow and asked him to just send the revised site plan now, and then that can
be
reviewed.
Check it.
Yeah, and then just attach it, and then you know you can send it to Becky, I guess, to print out and for signature in the coming days. But I think you know if you wanted to send the body of it unsigned, just so they can see what's coming, I don't see a problem with that. There's a chance that Kevin, you know, sends a map and something's changed, hopefully not, that might affect your decision. But that seems unlikely to me. So sending it to him unsigned now so they can start digesting it might make sense, especially so they're aware that there's a dedication document that will follow that Joe's preparing.
And so what is the board's pleasure as to whether we send the decision unsigned and ask for the revised site plans, or whether we ask for the revised site plans and then send the signed decision if they are in agreement?
My two cents is that we do the latter just as a procedural matter. I don't know that it really matters in the end, but getting that updated site plan and then we can tie it up in a bow.
I would agree with that.
Okay, so Ben, you have been reaching out to Kevin in the past regarding these site plans. Would you be willing to reach out to him to get the finalized site plan? And then we will make sure that everything is in agreement, and then we'll sign the document and get Becky to record it and send it on.
Yes, I can do that.
Is that okay with the board?
Sounds good.
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 Excellent. Hearing no objections. Alas, we have finished the TIGO decision. Thank you. School board letter. I did not put this on. I assume you did, John?
No, I didn't, although you probably all noticed I didn't actually circulate a letter. I started on it a couple of times. Felt I could potentially be biased by writing it, seeing though I'm also personally involved, as well as other things developing from last meeting to this meeting in the same direction that it was going before. And as suspected, after the article was in the Standard, which didn't name any persons in particular, the school has been less communicative and combative to my family due to what was in the paper and unwilling to talk to us. But I asked a school board member for recordings of a specific school board meeting, which I believe the same open meeting laws apply to them as us. Maybe you know, Scott.
It does. Yep. They have to.
Understanding with everything online now, everything has to be recorded. And the school board member didn't even know where to find the recording to get it for me. Because I asked if they did the same thing we did of putting it on the website, and he didn't have any idea, nor did he know where to find it. He couldn't even find the minutes of the meeting. So I don't know if it's any use to actually do a letter or not. It just seems like nobody knows heads from tails. But again, these are my personal observations, and I'm not sure what help getting the select board wrapped up in this is really going to help. But
well, John, just to jump in, I don't think you and Kathy are alone in this.
No, we're not. We've talked to several other families, and there's been the same communication issues with other families about different things from several other towns.
Yeah, I mean, my two cents on this is that while on the one hand, you could say don't get the select board involved in something like this, but we do, I think, because of the change in the way education is structured now, I do think there is a place for the select board to speak for concerned residents of Pomfret and how they feel. And given that with the change in structure to a unified district, that there isn't that, well, who speaks for Pomfret question. And I think that whether it amounts to anything or not, whether it amounts to nothing, I don't know, but I think it's better than nothing, that if the select board does stand up and represent the interests of its residents, I think that's important. And I think it's an important issue that John raised. And it's, and again, John and Kathy aren't alone. And I do think there's still value for us to say something.
Okay. I mean, it does go to the point of two of the members in the letter that Kathy wrote that ended up in the Standard, that they didn't want to be named because they were afraid of repercussions to their family and their right. students.
Right, which is really unfortunate.
We had a scheduled meeting with the principal prior to that letter coming out in the Standard. And at the meeting, he informed us 18 minutes before the meeting that he was limiting it to 15 minutes. And he let us know at the meeting the reason why it was being limited was to set ground rules. And he felt that basically we had slandered him by having that article in the paper. And he spent most of the time talking about how we had made him, the principal of the school, look bad. Which I find concerning. You know, we were there to discuss education issues with one of our children, not how he felt. But again, that's my personal observation. So I wouldn't think we as board members would do that to somebody we were having a meeting with. I would think we were above that. So
the bottom line is that that school system, the modified school system, regardless of whether Pomfret has two representatives or 20 or any of the other schools, that system is supposed to work for all of the children in the district. And it would appear that it may be working for many of the children in the district, but it is not working for all of them. And that is the education mission that the schools have had in this district for a long time. Pomfret schools certainly tried to meet with some challenges and some very expensive placements all of the needs of all of the children as best as they possibly could. And I realize that COVID-19 is making those kinds of things challenging in many respects. I understand that, but they still should be trying to meet the needs of all of their students. And it does not appear that they are willing to do that, or they are willing to discuss how to meet the needs of certain children. And I think that's unfortunate. And I don't think that's what we signed on to pay for. I think all these kids deserve an education that suits them. And if you're promised one thing and then you get something else, that's not very acceptable, in my view. And whether the select board wishes to write a letter or express discontent, that remains to be seen. That's a board decision. But if it were just one child, you'd say, okay, but it's not. And this feeling that if I complain about my student and the services that he or she is getting, there will be retribution, is totally unacceptable. Parents, no parent should feel that way, and it shouldn't be that way.
Do we have anything that, you know, any contacts at the state that we can express these concerns with and have them investigate it?
I don't.
I do not know.
Contact with some people at the state. I don't know if she wants to be listening, Kathy.
I am. If anyone wants to hear from me, I can share the information I've got so far. But I don't. I mean, I don't have contacts. I've just been passed along by representatives to different people. So
That hasn't really gained you any satisfaction?
Well, so far, so they've passed me on from, so I talked to Dick McCormick. He was super helpful. He went to the Secretary of the Board of Education. He passed me on to Ernie Wheeler, who I talked to the other day, and he was awesome, except he is in charge of online education, but not online education for everyone. It's online education for IEP students. So although he was concerned about what was going on, wanted to help me, he really doesn't have any pull in that area. He can't do anything for me. So he passed me on to a person named Bob Safford, and I don't know anything about him, but he's in the legal department. And he's supposed to get back in touch with me. So I haven't, everything takes so long. I haven't heard anything. I don't have any updates. I don't have any updates from the school board about what they're doing. It's just a lot of, we're working on it. And at this point, we're, I don't know, 3 weeks into October, which is almost two months into school, and no one has a plan yet. And it's just extremely frustrating to have kids who aren't learning. And it's not just us, it's numerous parents, some who are willing to be named and some who aren't, but whose students are not learning what their peers are learning in school. And something needs to be done, and there just isn't any rush to do it. And as every week goes by, they fall farther and farther behind, and they send us updates on what the kids in school are doing, and our kids aren't doing anything close to that.
Hey, Kathy, this is Scott. Was Secretary helpful at all?
He was not. He did not give me any information one way or the other. He passed me on to Ernie Wheeler. Jess D. Carolis had been helping me for a while, but she was also not as far up and couldn't help, just like the Ernie Wheeler couldn't do anything. So maybe the Bob Safford, who's the next guy in line, can help me, but I don't know.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
So how does the board wish to proceed?
Emily, this is Scott. I feel even more strongly after hearing this that we should do a letter. And John, I don't know if you're not comfortable writing the letter with the way you led into it. You do have the first-hand knowledge, so that's valuable, you and Kathy. But I'm feeling more strongly that we should write a letter.
Anybody else want to bring forth an opinion?
I think I'll agree with Scott on this. It definitely seems that there should be more done and more answers coming to the people that are asking for. And they're just not.
Chop, what's your thought?
I have been in listening mode on this. I have to say, I have not paid an awful lot of attention to the school situation. My kids have been so far gone from the school. I hate to admit that, but so I'm in listening mode.
Well, my kids have been out of the school system for a large amount of time as well. but I have felt that from what I've seen, especially regarding the Pomfret School, that this conglomeration of mud has gotten somewhat unwieldy, and people are getting lost in the shuffle.
I'm learning that. Learning that.
And so if we're going to draft a letter, we need a motion to do that. And go ahead.
Sorry, Emily. I think we already did approve a motion to that effect. I think where we stand is just drafting the letter and getting the content. And unfortunately, John, you and Kathy are in the best position to at least provide some content. I think perhaps you can hand it off to some of us and we can wordsmith it, but since you've got that firsthand experience, we certainly would rely on your input. I don't know how you feel about that, John and Kathy.
Any comment, John, Kathy?
I'm muted. Nobody can hear me. Sorry. If I come up, start with something, and maybe turn it over to you, Scott, you can wordsmith it and send it back to me.
Yeah, why don't we do that? I'm happy to jump in on that. Why don't you give me some bullet points, and I'll take it from there.
Okay, we'll do.
All right, let's not have a vote on that then. Let's just see what we can come up with. next on the agenda, HR consultant.
It didn't get, it was included in one of the earlier packets, but it wasn't in this one. But so I'm just going to reference the proposal that Teresa sent to us quite a while ago now. This was, just before town meeting last year, I think. But she outlined four areas. We're getting a really big echo. I'm not, am I the only one hearing that?
Oh, we are. I think it may be coming from Emily's phone, but I'm not sure.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Maybe. Yeah. Well, anyway, I'll just go on. Teresa outlined four areas for us that you could help us out on, and I think they're still valid today. One is to come up with a compensation analysis. The other is to develop an employee handbook, which is also the same as our personnel policy. A performance review package, all the things that we would need to do to get our performance reviews together. And then finally, to help us develop a combined time off policy. So those were the four areas she originally proposed to us that she could help. And I still think these are all very, very much very important. We did put money in the FY21 budget for her to do these things. She's got a pretty, very reasonable rate at $65 an hour. And if I were to recommend any priority, it would be that we do the employee handbook and personnel policy and the combined time off as the top two priorities. And then third and fourth would be the performance review package and the compensation analysis. All these things are very important. This precedes Chuck joining the board and maybe joining the board, but we did get some feedback quite a while ago that our personnel policy / employee handbook, as Emily, I think you and John are both aware, needs quite a bit of updating for various reasons. So I would, she sent us a proposal which I can, I actually did circulate this to everybody a while ago, and I can send it back around again. But I would recommend that we engage her for these four activities.
I would like to before we agree to have her do the four or the two that you felt that were more important, I would suggest that we get an updated proposal from her as to number of hours or cost on each one of these items, so that rather than giving her a blanket approval with no idea of how much money we are spending, that we get from her an estimate of cost.
She did actually.
The personnel policy doesn't even agree with itself in some areas. I couldn't agree more that it needs to be updated. The time off policy, we struggle with that on a regular basis. And but I would prefer that we know what these four items would be estimated to cost us before we just say go for it.
Yeah, she did actually include that in her proposal. So I'll quote the numbers. She quoted $500 to do the combined time off policy, and $950 for the employee handbook / personnel policy. And those were the two that I said were the highest priority. So that's pretty reasonable, those two right there. The performance appraisal package, she quoted at $1,700. And then the compensation analysis is even more in depth. And, you know, personally, the compensation analysis, in my opinion, is the fourth priority out of all of it. It is important, but it also is the costliest. So I would at a minimum recommend that we engage her for the two items of the CTO policy in the personnel / employee handbook. And that would be $1,450, which should be in our budget pretty easily.
And is she still willing to stand by those numbers?
I believe
that
so.
That was 9 months ago.
Yeah, I believe she would. I can verify that with her, but I have no reason to suspect she wouldn't.
We need a motion, and then we can have more discussion, or we can have more discussion and then make a motion. Any other discussion from any other members?
Why don't I do this for a motion? I will move that we approve engaging Teresa for the CTO policy, the combined time off policy, the personnel policy / employee handbook, for a total of $1,450, contingent on, we can certainly verify with her, but, you know, based on her last quote.
Is there a second to that?
I'll second that.
Any discussion?
No, I think it's good. Get started on it. Start chipping away at some of these things that are important, and it's good.
I think that especially the personnel policy needs to at least agree with itself. There are going to have to be, though, decisions made on our behalf that we are going to have to make. And so we can't just shrug it off and say, you know, she can do it. We're going to have to come up with how we want this thing to fly once she gets these documents well underway. Any other discussion?
I assume she's going to go through what we've got and tell us what is subpar, conflicts with each other, or is not up to today's standards. And
yeah, so
decisions as to how we, you know, that there'll be some things that we don't really have a choice in how it needs to be, and then there'll be others that we will, and I'm sure that she's going to present that to us, and we'll have to make some decisions.
Yeah, that's right, John. So Jill Muir a while ago gave us some feedback on the things that have to change.
Right.
And then just as you and Emily are saying, there are going to be some choices we have to make on other things.
So are you ready to vote on the motion?
Yes.
All those in favor, John?
Aye.
Aye.
Chuck? Chuck?
He's muted.
Can you demute him, Chuck?
No, I asked. There he is.
Are you an aye, Chuck, or an A?
I'm an aye.
I'm an aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Are you on myself?
Pardon?
Are you on speakerphone, Emily?
No, I am not.
It is you that's making the echo, but if I mute you,
I'm sorry. We've only got one more item, or two more items.
We'll make
Hang
it.
In there. I wish my computer would. I'm going to shoot it one of these days. But anyway, I will get a new one soon. So we've done the HR consultant discussion of town meeting methodology. I sent you guys an email that I received back from Carl and Deer. We can indeed do the town meeting with Australian ballot. He did not look with favor to having a Zoom type meeting with electronic voting. He was not positive in that regard.
Well, that would be very messy.
I think, pardon?
That would be very messy.
Very messy.
If indeed we're going to consider this, and I think we should consider it personally, but I don't want to do all the talking, we need to get things squared away fairly soon in what we want to do and or what we think we should do. And I would like to see us put this as an agenda item for discussion at our next regular meeting so that we can get public input and it will be there. And because I don't think COVID-19 is going away, things are looking rather grim. And I don't think it's going to go away by town meeting. And so I think we have to go to plan B if that's what we can do. There's going to be some statutory requirements that are going to have to be met. And I think we have time to do that, but we need to get on it.
Yeah, and the way I would envision it, I agree. I would envision it working at this point, maybe a little more, would be to have a pre-town meeting like towns that do Australian balloting via Zoom so that you can talk about what's on there in a town meeting format and then having the actual voting take place by Australian ballot. Now, whether you do it like the general election coming up where you mail one out to everybody so they can mail it back or you have them come in and fill it out. I'm not sure how you'd go about that portion, but those are my thoughts at this point.
Any other thoughts? All right. Hearing no other thoughts, we'll put it on the agenda for the next meeting, and maybe we'll put a listserv item on it to alert people that this is going to be discussed, and we'll put it on the agenda early in the meeting, and we will go from there. And perhaps we can get some more information is about what is going to be required on a town meeting item. Cindy got an email today from Wise, I believe it was today anyway, and wondered if they would be exempt from a petition to get their $400. I don't know whether they're asking for 400 or more. The problem for them is that in 2019, they did not ask to be on the warning, and they did not get money in 2019. And so they had to have five consecutive years of getting money, or they need to do a petition, and according to our social services policy. So how does the board wish to proceed? They've asked for an exemption to not have to get a permit.
What have they asked?
A petition.
So it was just that 1 year they missed.
That is correct.
And they've got a, I guess the way I was thinking about this is, I remember that year they missed, but don't they have a track record before that that goes back at least 5 years?
I went back until 2015, and so they got money in 2020, 2018, 17, 16, and 15. In 2019, they missed, and they did not request the money. We did not put it on the warning, and so they missed. We can make grant the exception if we so desire. We may find, but if they also in the email that I believe Cindy had, they did not indicate whether they wanted more money or whether they were willing to settle for the $400 they had asked for in the past. If they want more than the $400, they definitely should have to do a permit, a petition. But they did not indicate that in the letter.
The only thing I'm fuzzy about, because I haven't looked it up yet, is if the Secretary of State's office, or if anything has been done yet on petitions for town meeting, whether, because I know for the election, candidates were able to waive the petition requirement because of COVID. But I don't know whether that also holds true for these other petitions. And if it does, then my opinion is we should just go ahead and blanket permission for everybody to request their appropriation without petition. And then, as always, voters have the last say. Or we can, if there isn't a state level, you know, no requirement to get signatures. I guess I don't really want people to have to go around and get signatures right now is really the bottom line. But
I agree with that. And if they are asking for more, if they want to ask for more than they've asked in the past, then they have to do the footwork and get the petition. But otherwise, and I think that, Emily, I think you ticked off 5 years for WISE, 2018, 17, 16, and 15 anyway.
That is correct.
So
so they do have a track record of getting their $400, and they did miss 1 year. And that seems like, to me anyway, it was probably an oversight on their part. And it seems to me that in this particular case, that requiring a petition if they want the same amount of money is not serving any purpose. They've gotten funding for 5 years. They just missed 1 year in between. Now, that's my personal opinion. And if they want more money, that's another matter. I do think that if we go to an Australian ballot thing, we should... In other words, in the scheme of things, over the last 2 or 3 years, we have lumped these social service agencies together. If we were going to an Australian ballot, we might not do that because it would not be cumbersome to go through an article after article because it's just going to be a paper vote. But that's another matter further down the line. I would move that we not ask them to get a petition this year because of their previous track record of having gotten funded 5 years at $400. If they want an increase in funding, then they will have to get the petition.
I'll second that.
Any more discussion? All those in favor, John?
Aye.
Scott?
He's muted.
I'm sorry, I went out of order. I try and do it the same every time. Chuck?
Aye.
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
And myself, I apologize for going out of order. Schultz Family Burial Ground. You and Chuck went, Scott, on this site visit. What did you find, and what do we wish to do?
So what we found is Steve graciously showed us where he and Margaret would like to have their family burial. And it's a very nice spot, I just would like to say. And I based upon the regulations that I saw in the document that John forwarded, and I took a second look at it afterward. I don't see any issues with the location. We don't know at the groundwater where the water table is at that spot, but it's high up on a hill, and or fairly high up. It's not way up there, but it's high enough that I think I would imagine they're safely out of groundwater range at 5 feet or so, which is the requirement. Steve and Margaret are looking at green burial options, which I don't know a ton about, but long story short, and Chuck can say whether he agrees with this or not, but I didn't really see any problems, and I thought it was a really nice spot.
Yeah, I agree with that. I didn't see any problems. And of course, as Scott says, we don't know what the water table is like there, but it was a dry spot on a little knoll, and I couldn't see any problems.
The only thing that jumps out, and there's a timing issue here, of course, but you know, they're certainly not in a position to prepare the burial ground today. There would be some site prep required. So I think all we're really doing is saying we permit them to, whenever they're ready to prepare that site, they would have to cut some trees and dig up some roots and do some preparation. But I think in terms of the preliminary, are there any risks from a water resources standpoint, I think the answer is no. I'm no expert, but that was my takeaway from looking at it.
That's what I thought.
I guess the one thing that I would like to see is that they, I don't have any problem with if this is what they want to do. I had intended to go, but I had an issue with a cow situation, and so that did not happen. The one thing that I would suggest is that we ask that they get some GPS coordinates in addition to their map, so that in the future, the town, before we approve it, that they get some GPS coordinates, so that we know, the town knows for future reference exactly where this is, so that in years to come, it will be documented as to exactly where that little plot of land is.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether, we need a motion if we're going to approve this tonight, and that would be, I would assume that something like that would be the conditions, one of the conditions or a condition for approval.
I agree with you, Emily. I attempted to get GPS coordinates when I was there. Unfortunately, mine were not accurate when I plotted them. But I'm happy to go back. I mean, I do have a device I can get accurate GPS. And I'm happy to go back and help Steve and Margaret get accurate GPS coordinates.
I'd make a motion to approve the Schultz family burial ground, providing that we have GPS coordinates of the location. I don't think we need to get them before we.
Yeah, I agree. So I'll second that motion.
All those in favor? John?
Aye.
Aye.
Chuck?
Aye.
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Aye.
Myself, aye. okay, select board correspondence. You've gotten the correspondence that I had. Cindy, they reached out to you on, Wise did. Are you going to send them back what the board had decided regarding that, a letter regarding that, seeing that you have the correspondence there?
Yes, it's actually in a letter that Becky gave to me the other day.
Oh, okay.
I will call her and check on the amount. Still depending on $400, and just let her know that it's waived. We'll put it on the ballot.
Okay, sounds good. Any other correspondence?
Nope.
Review of assignments.
Salt contract.
I'll get Ellen to, pardon?
Salt contract.
Jimmy's going to take care of the salt contract. I'll get Ellen to email Caleb regarding the Pike payment. I'll send the permission slip back to the feral pig lady. And Ben is going to take care of the Tego decision. And Scott and John and Kathy are going to work on a school board letter. John is going to speak with Teresa regarding the HR business. And we will try and find out about private road signs. I can try and determine that cost. Anything else?
I don't think so.
Okay, agenda items for next meeting. You want to put the town meeting on here?
Yep.
What other items?
Budget meetings. Are we doing that within the regular meetings? Are we having special meetings? I don't remember.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the first part, John.
What are we doing for our budgeting? Are we having special meetings, or are we trying to get that done within our
I guess that's up to the board. I would like to get started on the budget, on the budget items. I don't think it should take us too terribly long. We can do alternate. We can have a meeting every week. If it's a Zoom meeting, it's not all that challenging. What's the board's preference?
As much as I don't want to have more meetings, it would be nice to have meetings dedicated to the budget instead of trying to go until 10:30 at night.
Well, let's have a regular meeting then on our first regular meeting date in, let's see.
November 4th.
November 4th, and let's have a budget meeting on the 11th. And we'll start out with the central office and the listers on that date. And hopefully the Planning Commission, Capital Planning Commission was going to have their report on the 4th. Is that correct, Scott?
Something like that, early November.
I thought it was the first meeting in November, which will be the 4th.
Okay.
And so then we could do highway after that. And I will email Kevin. I spoke to him on another matter a couple days ago regarding fuel and what we had done regarding a maintenance contract. And I said none. And so I can talk to Kevin and he can get his fire department stuff done. I will also email the library and the cemetery commissioners and tell them that we're working on the budget. Maybe we could get most of those things done.
I was only partially paying attention. Is the meeting on the 11th of November, is that the type where you could use that lengthy spreadsheet for filling in the blanks, or does that come later?
No, we could do that. Neil has sent me the budget. He has filled in placeholders, which we can change at any time. And as we change the placeholders, it will automatically calculate what that does to the bottom line. He did discuss with me or emailed me that at some point getting something that would work at the central office like that original system did a few years ago and a TV screen would be great, but we're not going to be there this year, so I said maybe we can figure out what that might cost and put it in the budget for another year.
Okay, so Neil's already prepared that material.
That he has got that material. I will send that to all of the board and to you as well, Ben.
Okay, Nancy, the reason I'm asking is Nancy and I are in the middle of generating the very same material for the printed annual report, and it's possible that some of those rows get changed as they sometimes do from year to year based on Ellen's NMRIC formatting. So I wonder if it makes sense for me to send him that once we're done with it, and we'll accelerate that to completion knowing now that you're meeting about this on the 11th so that we're all using the same rows in the same order.
Sounds great.
Okay.
Find out if Neil has the ability to do Zoom and to do screen sharing, so when we're working through it and he's changing numbering.
Well, I did tell him that I'll have to get a new computer, but I did tell him that I hoped that you would be able to screen share, or perhaps he could, and I will touch base with him in that regard. But if you have all of the documents, you could screen share as the host. Yes, John?
Yes.
So we will get that base covered.
Okay.
I may not cover it personally, but it will get covered one way or another.
Sounds good.
I'll have a conversation with Neil. I haven't since he sent that document, and I will probably not send that document around. I'll send the document around, and then if it gets changed, we can have another version and chuck the first one so you all can think about what's there.
Hey Emily, quick update here. Teresa emailed me back right away. She's good with what we just voted on, and she will send us a revised agreement for the two areas we just voted on.
And okay.
She said she can start as early as December 1st.
Well, then we've got time. So that's good. Excellent. So we'll schedule a special meeting on the 11th for budget.
Are we going to revert to 6 o'clock meetings on the 11th?
It's fine with me. Will you be out of work by then, John?
Yes.
Is everyone else happy with 6 o'clock meetings?
Sure.
Now? Yeah. Because daylight saving time, and 6 o'clock for the regular meetings as well.
Yep.
Yes? Is that okay, everybody?
Sounds good.
Okay. Anything else? We need then an appropriate motion.
I so move.
What are you so moving?
I'm so moving that we adjourn.
Thank you. All those in favor, John?
Aye.
Chuck?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
And myself. Thank you all. Have a good evening.
Good night.
You as well.
Good night.